In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production in association with City News.
The first time I heard about wild pigs, they were a meme. If you're someone who spends a lot of time online, you might remember a joke about 3250 feral hogs invading a suburban lawn being used as justification for the owner toting a powerful automatic rifle. The second time I heard about wild pigs, that meme didn't seem so funny anymore.
Here in the hamlet of Claremont, a bit of an unusual sight in recent weeks. Residents have reported seeing more than a dozen wild boars roaming the area.
They destroy crops, eat pretty much anything they can find, and can transmit swine fever to wildlife and humans alike.
They are the worst invasive large mammal on the planet.
Recently, a group of wild pigs were sighted not that far from where I live, in the Greater Toronto Area. The fact that they are beginning to show up in Ontario and beginning to show up near urban centers should alarm anyone who has been paying attention to what they've been doing in the prairies for the past several years. This is an animal that's been described as one of the most invasive species on Earth. It does terrible damage to farms and to ecosystems and even to people if they're cornered, or in some cities around the world where they seem to be everywhere. So what makes wild pigs or feral hogs so dangerous, so tough to hunt or catch and eradicate? How have they spread so far and so fast? And what are we doing about it? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Omar Mosley is a journalist with the Toronto Star based in Edmonton. Hey, Omar.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for making the time for us.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you begin by telling me what happened to Bob Brickley 20 years ago? That's kind of where this starts, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a good place to start. So Bob Brickley is a farmer in southeast Saskatchewan. And he was telling me about a day when, it was a peaceful day on the prairies where he was combining wheat, you know, just hauling grain with his wife. And they see these black creatures on the horizon. And they look like pigs, but they're certainly not the pigs they're used to. You know, this family is well acquainted with domestic pigs because his wife has a farmer in the family who raised pigs. And so they see these things and they resemble pigs, but they are very different than what they're used to. They're aggressive looking, they're mean looking, they're hairy, and they're black. So they knew they weren't the kinds of pigs they were regularly used to. So from the story, from what I remember, they were able to shoo them off, but they came back quite soon. And they were picking on their animals and eating their grain and just basically causing devastation to their farm over the course of several weeks and months. And this farmer realized, hey, if I don't do something about these wild pigs, which they eventually realized is that that's what they were, this is going to have a devastating effect on my farm. So Bob Brickley decided to team up with some other farmers who were facing similar issues with these wild feral pigs and try and do something about it.
What did they do?
Well, they formed basically a group. It's called the Saskatchewan Moose Mountain Wild Boar Eradication Team. So these are a bunch of farmers who are well acquainted with hunting. And, you know, they had spoken to their local officials. And this is a fairly rural area. So you're going to have like, a reeve or a member of provincial parliament here called MLAs.
Right.
That's going to be, you know, overseeing a land of like, you know, quarter of the province. Huge areas, right? Because it's sparsely populated. So it wasn't that easy for them to get the attention of their local politicians. And so they decided to essentially do this on their own. They said, we're going to go hunt these pigs. We'll just kill them until they all disappear. And they quickly realized that was not going to be the easiest approach.
why not? These are experienced farmers, and how many pigs could we be talking about here?
Well, at the time, he had counted just over a dozen, but they learned they were breeding quite prolifically. So the issue with hunting wild pigs, there's kind of a laundry list, but the biggest issue is that they breed so prolifically. So you could take out, you know, maybe 5 or 10, but you don't know if there's more piglets on the way. The other issue is that they're extremely cunning and smart. So these pigs know how to hide. They're not easy to find. They typically dig into like the roots and the mud to find their food. So they're very good diggers, and they can actually hide under like the foliage and leaves and mud. So you can't actually find them that easily. And the problem is if you try and shoot them and they scatter and they get away, they become much, much more cunning towards trappers. So they know, they actually become more resilient and smarter in terms of being hunted. Like they learn, and they learn different strategies and how to evade hunters. So they're just really smart creatures, and they're not easy to get your hands or your rifle on.
It sounded to me for a minute like you were talking about the raptors from Jurassic Park.
There's probably some resemblances, certainly in terms of intelligence. I've been told pigs are about this, like equally as smart as dogs, or if not smarter.
I'm going to get you to fast forward 20 years in just a minute. But first, when we're talking about these original wild pigs in Saskatchewan, do we know where they came from, or at least where they likely came from?
Yes. So they were brought here by farmers. Essentially what happened is they were brought from Europe. The actual original breed is called the Eurasian wild boar. And they took these Eurasian wild boars, which kind of looks like the boar you might remember from The Lion King. You know, it has tusks. They're brownish, blackish, hairy back. And they crossbred them with domestic pigs, because domestic pigs, people don't realize, are huge. Like the ones on the farms can reach like 800 pounds because they're bred to be really, really fat. So, you know, more meat. So what happened was like the feral pigs are maybe only 300, 400 pounds, but you breed them with these domestic pigs and they're reaching like 600 pounds. And so what happened was farmers realized they weren't that easy to actually raise. It turns out they're quite aggressive, and they kind of overestimated the market for wild pig meat. So a lot of these farmers just let them go, said, you know, you're not worth raising. And literally just open the, you know, their fences and let them run free. And some others escaped because they don't really like being fenced in. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you saw this population start to get out from farms, primarily in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and make their way to Manitoba and kind of really establish themselves in the prairies.
So now 20 years later, do we have any idea how many of these wild pigs are in Canada and how far their territory, I guess, stretches?
There's no firm number. There's been more than 60,000 sightings. So, you know, the two people who really helped me with this article, Ryan Brook and Ruth Asham at the University of Saskatchewan, were able to actually map out the population of wild pigs in Canada. And so these 60,000 sightings are not unique. They could be duplicates. So they were even able to say, like, you know, we really don't have a firm number on how many there are in Canada, but certainly thousands. One of the researchers said in the southeast of Saskatchewan, where Bob Brickley happens to live, he believes there's more there than the rest of Canada. And they're like really highly concentrated in that one corner of Saskatchewan. But overall, it's hard to say, but certainly in the thousands.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Now, we've kind of talked a bit about why they're so difficult to hunt and and why they escaped, why are they considered an invasive species? Like, what's so bad about them?
Well, there's an old expression that pigs will eat anything. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Snatch.
Right.
but they do literally eat anything and everything. And it causes problems, you know. Like, for example, they were recently spotted in Elk Island National Park, east of Edmonton. And that was quite concerning because, you know, the bison there are, it's quite a unique park in a sense. And they're not going to start attacking bison. But the bigger issue is them attacking the food and just sort of destroying the ecology of the local wildlife. And they just sort of, they're described as ecological train wrecks. They just attack and eat anything and everything they can.
What about with humans? Will they physically attack humans? How dangerous are they if, you know, somebody encounters one?
It's extremely rare, but it has happened. There was one case in Texas where a woman was killed by a group of them. Typically, they like to keep to themselves, but they have been described as aggressive to me. Like, you know, one of the hunters who I interviewed, Bob, he told me one ran at him when they cornered it, and he described them as being quite aggressive. But generally, you know, they're not interested in humans, and that's not the primary threat that they pose. Generally, the bigger threat is to wildlife.
I realized that 20 years ago, it might have been tough for Bob and his friends to get the attention of the local MLA. But what about in the years since, as, you know, researchers have been kind of ringing the bells and as it's become clear that these things are proliferating? What have governments, if anything, tried to do to get a handle on this?
Yeah, you see kind of this piecemeal approach to doing something about this in Canada. One of my really helpful sources for this story was the USDA in the United States, because they've really made this a huge priority in terms of tackling this, and then they've committed a lot of money from Congress, whereas in Canada, you don't see that just yet. The provinces of British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba have all kind of taken varying approaches to how to do this. You've seen things like offering bounties, sports hunting, essentially saying you don't need a license to kill wild pigs, just free reign, hunting of wild pigs. Those approaches have not been very successful. And in fact, you know, going back to them learning, if you try and hunt them down and they escape and then becoming more cunning, it actually has the potential to increase the population of these wild pigs because they just get more and more resistant to being caught. So you're seeing provinces do things like ground trapping, aircraft surveillance, what they're doing above Elk Island National Park, trail cameras, drones. They say you need a kind of a toolbox approach. One of the interesting and funny things in the story that the researcher told me was that they really like strawberry. So they're really into strawberry jello and like strawberry sauce. Yeah, they have this amazing sense of smell and they absolutely love strawberries. The provinces are doing different things. A lot of what you'll see is these kind of hotlines, you know, call in if you see a pig,
right.
Squeal if you see a pig. You know, Alberta had a pilot project that ended. Saskatchewan and BC and Manitoba seem to be all taking it seriously. And now Ontario is also dedicating funds and resources to trying to eradicate this. And it's quite early. It's in the early stages in Ontario. So some people are quite impressed that Ontario is actually taking this really seriously.
I wanted to ask you about Ontario because one of the researchers in your piece, I believe, said that, you know, it's going to be really important to study what happens now because this is kind of like the vanguard of their approach. What do we know about how far they've spread into Ontario and what could happen?
Well, Ontario is interesting because of the GTA, and you don't really have anywhere in Canada with that level of urban sprawl and population density. They were recently spotted in Pickering, which, you know, is right in the fringes of Toronto. And that was quite alarming because people are saying, well, once they're in Toronto, at that point, if they're going to be penetrating a city of 2.81 million or 2.8 million and, you know, a greater area of like 7-8 million, you know, they can really survive anywhere. It seems like they haven't really established wild populations in Ontario. It's believed that those ones that were running around Pickering escaped from a farm. But it doesn't take much for that to happen, right? And so I think Ontario and the GTA will be an interesting case study, because if they get established in an area with that many people living, it just shows that, you know, just how good they are at being able to really tailor their approach to that particular population. Like, they're going to be eating out of garbage cans and stuff, and just finding everything they need. So,
well, tell me what that looks like in other cities around the world, and what happens when these things get into a really dense urban population. Do we have examples?
Yeah, I'm told Hong Kong has a huge problem with them. The researcher in my story said they actually chase people down and knock them over for their groceries in some cases, which was fascinating to me. And you know, they seem to be able to, you know, change their approach to what they need to do to survive wherever they are. Like, if you've got them living in the prairies and the fields of the prairies, but also on the fringes of cities, you know, these guys are very, very smart. And it'll be interesting to see if you start seeing them interact with humans in the greater Toronto area, like we're hearing happens in Hong Kong.
I also want to ask you about a viral tweet, not yours, not mine, but I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, there was a country rock singer who was talking about why nobody needs to own, you know, automatic rifles like an AK-47 or whatever. And the viral reply to that was a man who said, you know, I need this AK-47 to protect my children from the 30 to 50 feral hogs that will run into my yard while she's playing. Everybody laughed at that after reporting this story.
Right.
What do you think of it?
Honestly, it doesn't seem that far from the realm of possibility. Like, the way Bob described these things was that, like, he described them as like a horde of these just vicious, very stubbornly resistant animals that just kept coming back to his farm and attacking the grain and attacking the cattle. He told me the story about how his cows were crying for like hours on end because they were so scared of these pigs coming back. And like, honestly, it you know, Bob was such a great conduit to tell the story through, because, you know, he's this guy in the middle of nowhere in Saskatchewan, but it also just became like his life mission to take these things down and to eradicate them from the area. And, you know, the level of dedication was just really impressive, but it also showed, you know, how resilient these things are and how, you know, he basically said you have to become completely obsessed with it in order to actually make a dent in their population. And he certainly did. So, you know, I don't put it past anyone who really feels like these pigs are a serious threat to their livelihood and to their lives. And I wouldn't be surprised if people, like in Saskatchewan, it's like a hobby now. It's like a pastime. Let's go hunt feral pigs.
Right.
And you know, these people are really serious about protecting their farms, and I can't blame them one bit.
Omar, thank you so much for this. A pleasure to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Omar Mosley of the Toronto Star. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca or find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. You can always email us, TheBigStoryPodcast, that is all one word, at rci.rogers.com. And you can find us in your favorite podcast player whenever you need a fresh daily news podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.